Three new polls came out this week that seem to show growing public support for the impeachment inquiry against President Trump compared with past polling. But they also highlight that the public remains largely divided on the issue. All three polls found that over half the people in the United States approve of an impeachment inquiry. And we asked you how much you trust public polling for a sense of how Americans feel about this and other issues.
This is Eric in Eatontown, New Jersey. Yes, I do trust public polling, but only from sources that I recognize and that are well-rated by poll aggregators, like Electoral Vote and 538. Polling lets me know what others think and what is politically feasible, and it also helps me not throw away my vote and to detect gross electoral fraud when it occurs.
My name's Evan. I'm from Florence over on the coast. I do rely on the polls to get a sense of what the American people want. Everything is so partisan now. I wish legislators would rely more on polls to get a sense of what the people really want.
Mark Blumenthal is a researcher who writes about polling at mysterypollster.com, and he's the former head of election polling for SurveyMonkey. Mark, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
So what is it about this moment that's caused so many people to get behind the idea of an impeachment inquiry, at least according to the polls?
Well, since the middle of September, we've had the emergence of the story of the whistleblower and President Trump's outreach to Ukraine to investigate his rival. In response to that, the Democratic leadership, Nancy Pelosi and others in the House, have endorsed the idea of an impeachment inquiry. So that unification of the leadership of the Democratic Party has moved a lot of Democrats and some independents into favoring moving forward with the inquiry and favoring impeachment. The one thing that's sort of relevant to the whole question of impeachment is just looking at President Trump's approval rating. And that didn't show the same sort of dramatic or at least abrupt change. By and large, attitudes about President Trump have remained stable over the last month. It's views of the impeachment inquiry and impeachment process that changed, particularly among Democrats and independents.
Generally speaking, Mark, when we talk about how these polls are conducted, the methodology for most of these big national polls, are we talking phone calls or online? Like, how do these polls get conducted?
When we're looking at the big national polls, most are still telephone. There's a pretty significant number, even at the national level, that are being done online, and that is a bit of a change. Pollsters, regardless of how they're doing the interviews, are going to great lengths to monitor and adjust their samples to make sure that they're representative of the population in terms of its demographics and its regional distribution, using the data we have from the U.S. Census about what the country looks like.
Let's talk about the way questions are worded. I mean, not to get too in the weeds here, but we know there are so many different ways that you can present a question to get a desired response. Are the questions worded in a way that could influence the results of a poll?
I think when you're asking about something like impeachment, the wording is very important because small variation in what we're asking about can make a difference in the response. For example, asking about whether there should be an impeachment inquiry or an impeachment investigation gets more support than the notion of impeaching President Trump and removing him from office. In my observation, people don't seem to differentiate when they hear the word impeachment, even though that's just sort of an indictment at the beginning of the process. What they hear is removal from office.
Mark, you say that Trump's overall approval rating among Republicans has remained relatively consistent, but at the same time, their support for an impeachment inquiry has been on the rise. How do we explain that?
Well, part of it, while it's been consistent, there are far more Americans who disapprove of President Trump's performance than approve. And so what I think has happened over the last several weeks is that the number who favor impeachment has come closer into line with the percentage who favor or who say they disapprove of his performance. It's really about as simple as that.
You wrote an article for 538 talking about how media and articles can get so big that they start to influence the accuracy of polls. So my question is, what comes first, the polls or the news?
The news, always. I should stress that the argument that I made in 538 is something that I warned that we should be on the lookout for. I didn't say it was happening now. And looking at the polls of the last week, I don't see the sort of problem developing yet. But there's this very jargony term called non-response bias that pollsters use. It's a relatively simple idea. And the idea is that if the people who are willing to take the survey are different on the thing that you're measuring across all sort of demographic subgroups, then the people who aren't willing to take the survey, that you can get an error. And there have been three episodes over the last 10 years were very brief, where news was giant. And that would be the first presidential debate in 2012, the release of the Access Hollywood tape in 2016, and the week or so following the Kavanaugh-Blasey Ford confirmation hearing in 2018, where the news was just enormous. It was something everyone was talking about and everyone knew about. And there was an element of, at least in two of those three, one side sort of winning the day, perhaps in the Kavanaugh hearing toward the end, that one too. And so we saw partisans on one side being more willing to take surveys than partisans on the other, and that exaggerated some of the trends.
Beyond that, what you call differential non-response bias, are there other ways that polls can be skewed and then sort of wind up further influencing popular opinion?
Well, of course there are, and that's what pollsters look out for. And you know, we should understand the shortcomings or the limitations, I should say, of what survey research can do. I mean, there is ordinary, the random variation that can come from survey to survey. We try to capture that in what pollsters typically call the margin of error. But there are other ways that surveys can miss what we're trying to get at. There's the topic more generally, which is how people who respond or how people that pollsters can reach might differ from those that don't respond or that we can't reach.
Mark, sometimes I feel like we're hearing polls almost every other day about, particularly when it comes to how candidates are doing who are running for office, beyond general sentiment. And I wonder sometimes how valuable that is to the consumers of news. Is there something of poll fatigue, if you will? Is there a point at which this is just becoming information that's no longer valuable to the news consumer, and maybe we should be more judicious in the media about when and how we use polling data?
I think that's a very fair question to ask. I think the answer depends on which news consumers we're talking about. My own experience is that the most rabid partisans tend to be the heaviest consumers of news, and many of them look at polling the way sports fans look at the standings every day. They just want to see how their side is doing and who's ahead. But I do think there's a very valid question about the role that the sort of nonstop horse race coverage plays in everyone else and the way they react to news, and does it make them more cynical about the process, and do they see less meaning in the process of government that affects their lives?
Mark Blumenthal is a survey researcher who writes about polling at mysterypollster.com. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.